Welcome back to Brief and Not So Brief. I'm Seth.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Peter.
And this time we are going to be talking about Arnold movies. So, as you may have noticed, we have a third voice with us today. It is Peter Nock, my nephew, Ethan's cousin, and he is joining us from Anchorage, Alaska. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for joining us, Peter.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. This is two episodes in a row, really, because
Oh, you guys
the last
haven't...
one we did was the Oscars one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And, okay, so, right at the top here, we're talking about Arnold movies. Mm-hmm. And I put out a thing on Twitter asking people what their favorite Arnold movies were, and my thinking was, let's not talk about any Terminator movies, because I like the Terminator movies. I think Terminator 1 is great. I think Terminator 2 is great. I think I probably prefer Terminator 1, but I didn't want to talk about those. And Ethan had thoughts about this as well.
I don't really consider it a Arnold movie, both of those, or any of the Terminator movies. And so just considering that he's not really, the story's not really about him. Like, he's a part of it, but it's not an Arnold movie to me. So I wanted to focus on the kind of genre of Arnold that is action, weird, just over the top stuff.
Okay. I'm not totally sure I agree with you.
Okay, whatever.
I mean, he gets top billing in every one of those movies.
That is true.
That doesn't mean anything, because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. gets top billing in some of the MCU films, and it doesn't mean Iron Man's the main character.
Yeah. I would like to focus on the kind of core Arnold action movies, mm-hmm. Which is exciting because they're so mindless to watch and is so easy to do.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's why we're not talking about those ones, because I'm sure that a lot of people would be like, Terminator is the best. Put that at the top of the list. I might go with Terminator if I included those. The other thing is, we're talking about Arnold action movies, and there's a lot of them. And we just kind of wanted to do a curated list. And so I asked people what their favorites were, and from it, I culled it down to a list of five. So one thing we don't have here is any of Arnold's straight up comedies. So we don't have Kindergarten Cop. We don't have Twins or Junior or Jingle All the Way. Maybe at some point we do a follow up and cover those movies. But we just wanted to stick to the action movies. So just, you know, don't flame us on Twitter. Okay. So, Peter, what did we watch?
Well, we watched Commando, Predator, The Running Man, Total Recall, and True Lies.
Yes. Very nice. And that's basically a 10-year span of Arnold movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one's from 1985, the last one's from 1994. So,
yeah.
And two of them are in the same year, which, my goodness.
I mean, say what you will about Arnold Schwarzenegger, but that man worked.
Yeah.
So I think we'll go ahead and talk through these in chronological order. And one of the things that I want to do is talk about, like, if someone picked this as their favorite, which a lot of people picked each one of these as their favorite, on what basis would they pick that? So, like, pick out the best parts of the movie. I don't want to trash any of them too badly. We can point out the things that didn't work, right?
Sure.
But I do want to focus on some of the positives and, like, why all of these are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess I should throw that out, right? Ethan, would you say you enjoyed all the movies?
To a certain extent.
Okay. What about you, Peter?
Yeah, I'd say I enjoyed them all. Okay. Definitely had some criticisms, but I enjoyed them all.
All right, well, let me ask you about this, right? I grew up with Arnold Schwarzenegger, so I saw a lot of these movies in the theater, and I saw a lot of them on, you know, on home video. But, Peter, had you seen many Arnold movies prior to doing this?
Yes, so I'd seen all the ones on this list other than True Lies. My dad is also hugely into Arnold movies, yes. So I watched a lot of these growing up and heard the quotes many more times than I'd seen the movies. So, so yeah, that's... all these movies have at least one quote that's quoted constantly around my house.
Yeah. I had actually, at some point, I think a year or two ago, we decided to go look back at some classic Arnold, but not just Arnold, but just like classic old action movies. Mm-hmm. And so I have seen all these once. And so every single movie, this was my second go around for each of them, which was nice.
Nice. And your favorite of the, in the first viewing?
My favorite in the first viewing was definitely The Running Man.
Right. So this is really where this comes from, is we watched the Terminator movies. We watched Predator. We watched The Running Man. We watched
True Lies.
Yeah. And I think we did watch
True Lies. We definitely did Commando. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. And Commando. Right. And I was saying to Ethan at some point, I'm like, well, Predator's obviously the best one. And Ethan's like, no, it was The Running Man. And like, what? And so that was kind of the origins of this discussion. So we watched them all, and we're going to decide which one is the best. So how about we talk about Commando?
Indeed.
Yes.
Let's do it.
So Commando came out in 1985, It was directed by Mark Lester, and it stars Arnold, obviously, and Bill Duke and Vernon Wells and Radon Chong. Mm-hmm. And it had a $10 million budget. It made $57 million worldwide, $35 million domestically. Mm-hmm. So that's a good return. It's mm-hmm. really weird, actually, to talk about movie budgets now.
Oh, yeah.
For 30 yeah. years ago.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it doesn't sound like much of a budget. But when you do the math on it, you're like, wow, it made almost four times its budget back. That's yeah. really, really good.
And nowadays, it's like, if you make twice back your budget, like yeah. that's really good.
Whereas yeah. nowadays, like, you make $250 million at the box office, and you're like, you know, it's a moderate flop.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
No, and the tomato and kind of IMDb ratings, it has a 71% for fans. Actually, excuse me, 71% for critics, 67% for fans, and a 6.7 rating on IMDb.
Nice. All right. So, what do we think about this one? Peter, why don't you start?
Okay. So, Commando, I'm a big fan of Commando.
Yeah.
it's the first one I watched of this set of them. And boy, just really good memories of this movie. And there's some fantastic one-liners. I don't know if we're just going to like go over all the great lines in this movie, but
sure.
My favorite has to be the, you're a funny guy, Sully. I'll kill you last.
Yeah,
and then, and then not 10 minutes later, I think I lied.
Yes. Yes. I love that whole line where it's, he's like,
listen, loyalty is very touching, but it is not the most important thing in your life right now. But what is important is gravity.
This one's, I love this movie. It's great. Yes. It's not my favorite of the bunch. Mm-hmm. One thing, so I'll say this, that kind of sets this apart from the other movies. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, you guys didn't mention this to me before, but I was looking for kind of what set them apart, because a lot of them are kind of similar in that they're action mm-hmm. movies around the 80s starring Arnold. They had a mm-hmm. theme. They all have a lot of recurring elements, but, with yeah. Commando, weirdly, he has the most feats of, I'd say, super strength in this one. Yeah, he flips cars, like, just off the uh-huh. road, tears locks apart with his bare hands, rips yeah. phone booths off the wall. He has just a bunch of things in here that no human being could do, and none of his other characters even do.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of fun. In Commando, he's like
those mall cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's a superhuman in this movie, even though this is not one of the sci-fis. Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting. There's also the scene where Hill starts without an engine, the car, right. Or was it the brakes? I don't know what was missing in the car. All I know is it wouldn't start, so he just pushed it down the hill and hopped in.
Yeah, they'd pulled off the distributor cap.
Yeah.
So there's no way to start it. So I like the fact though that he's like, okay, I'm going to push this car down the hill and ride it and catch these guys, and it just does not work out.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, but it's still just wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. I also really enjoy this one because it's just, I mean, I don't think it fully embraces the kind of just absurdity until the last act. There's like hints of it throughout, mm-hmm. but like that last act where he goes to get Jenny. You know, all that matters to me now is Jenny.
It's Jenny.
when he goes to get Jenny, it's just full first person shooter, mm-hmm. infinite ammo, invincibility,
God mode,
just
mm-hmm. explosions like everywhere.
I knew he was coming. Especially mm-hmm. the second time, but like it doesn't get any better than that. It's too good.
So, I mean, I completely disagree.
Really?
Like, I like the movie right up until the point that he breaks into the big compound.
Ooh.
Because the breaks into the big compound, all I'm thinking when I'm watching it is, wow, they make action movies differently today.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, you know, in action movies now, people will actually shoulder the rifle and look like they're aiming down the sight. Well, where Arnold will just wave it back and forth at hip level, mm-hmm. and
everybody dies. Yeah. Everybody dies.
I kind of, since that third act happened, mm-hmm. it's almost like you can't really redeem the rest of the movie because that's such a big moment mm-hmm. and big action set piece that's all you think about.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they embraced that third act more. Like, I kind of want it to be an insane, just in the dumb the entire time.
Yeah.
Because it is a little bit more serious for the first little bit, because I mean, it is, of course, a dark topic where mm-hmm. his dog gets kidnapped, but it's still kind of that 80s action.
Yeah.
It's not really that intense, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, because you know it's pretty formulaic. He's yeah. going to come in and get her.
Oh, yeah. And Arnold is never under any threat at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
During that scene until he faces down with Bennett. And at this
Freddie Mercury.
I think we need to talk about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
yeah, what's with that outfit?
Oh, man.
Throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, he never changes clothes, right?
Yeah.
No. He's always got that weird, what is that thing called? That weave, that lace?
I always thought it was chainmail.
Yeah, it looks like chainmail.
It looks like cloth chainmail.
Yeah.
Like it's made out of some kind of cloth, mesh, but it looks like it's supposed to be chainmail, and it's just the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his weird porn stash, too. I have a hard time not thinking that that was somehow homophobic, that Bennett was like supposed to be portrayed as someone who was obsessed with Arnold. You know,
interesting
in a sexual way, and and it's gross.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that
just because I feel like, I mean, it would have been a very 80s thing to do.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and, I can see that.
And so that part of it, I'm like, that makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
The thing that's odd to me is also it does make the action at the end a little bit less believable because I can't actually see that fight happening and him lasting more than 10 seconds.
Right.
Because Arnold is just so much bigger and is obviously. The rest of the movie portrayed his abilities.
Yeah.
And since we haven't seen Bennett, you can't really believe that he's this guy that could go toe-to-toe with Arnold. And so that makes it a little bit less believable at the end for me.
Well, and then when Arnold gets mad, then all of a sudden the action just goes to like Jean-Claude Van Damme supercut level.
Yeah.
Only without this blitz. But yeah, I feel like if there's a major flaw to this movie, and there is, it's A, the action choreography is pretty ridiculous. There's a couple points where buildings blow up, and if you watch it, you can see that the guys who are standing there are actually just like cardboard cutouts or mannequins. There's Peter, you need to go back and rewatch the gravity scene.
Oh yeah,
because I noticed it this time. I'd never seen it before, but I just the way Arnold was carrying Sully, I'm like, he looks like he's on a wire. And so I looked for it, and you can clearly see
like
a cable off his left leg.
Very visible cable.
Yeah. But it's one of those things like watching it on VHS in 1986, never would have noticed that. But in HD, on a large television, you can pick it up.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. To be honest, that scene, though, I wasn't really watching it. I was experiencing it. You know, it's just such a moment.
That's the best scene in the movie to me.
Yeah, it really is, and honestly, that's probably my weakness or criticism of the movie is that it peaks kind of early with the one-liners.
Yeah.
The one-liners later on, there's some good ones. There's the green beret line, the "I eat green berets for breakfast and I'm hungry." And I mean, that's great. Let off some steam, Bennett. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, but the best one-liners really are up to the Sully kill, and after that, we never reach the Sully kill heights of like the comedy, the ridiculousness of the movie again.
Yeah,
and I agree with you that the action choreography is it's not very modern or very believable. It's fun.
Yeah. On the other hand, it can be enjoyed as like you're watching a video game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the reason that I will still think of this movie fondly is because of how absurd it is.
Yeah.
But going back to the one-liners, I think part of the reason that those last ones aren't as great is just because there are a lot of them, and so when there are that so many, and you get to the kind of objectively best and funniest ones, those last ones start to fail a little bit just because there's been so many. And like you said, they're just not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So anywho.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say about Commando before we move on?
The only thing I like to say is the ratings for this are higher than I expected. I did not think the critic rating would be 71%.
That's really high, actually.
It's really high.
For a critic, when you said that the audience score was lower than the critic score on this one, I was super surprised.
Yeah.
Super surprised.
Really weird.
I mean, if you think about it, right, it's not a complicated plot. And in terms of basic storytelling, it hits all the right beats.
Yes.
Right? I guess, yeah.
So, I can see it. I mean, like Roger Ebert liked this movie.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Okay, so for Commando, if somebody told you this is my favorite movie, what would you think was favorite about it? Why would you think it was somebody's
favorite? For me, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I think that there might be some people who would say this is their favorite because it's just a pure fun action movie. Mm-hmm. So I think that third act might just carry some people over as like, this is why it's my favorite. So I think, honestly, if that was just, like I said, the entire thing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would resonate with that and appreciate that.
You don't think it's the scene where Alyssa Milano puts ice cream on Arnold's face? Okay. Have you ever seen somebody has taken like that whole scene with him
and put it with horror music or something?
No, they put it with like sitcom intro.
Oh, that would be so good. I need to look that up.
Yes. The montage of John Matrix and Chenny are very happy together. What about you, Peter?
You know, I would say the one-liners. I mean, that's the reason that the movie's as memorable to me. The kills and the action, they're set dressing for the one-liners for me. You know, like in this one, the characters are secondary to the one-liners that killed
them. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go the opposite direction and say, I feel like you could watch this movie on mute and still have almost as good of a time.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you just want to watch Arnold wrecking shop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, why don't we move on to Predator?
Yes.
Predator.
I had to do the sound.
Of course.
Yes. So, Predator, 1987, which the next movie is also in 1987, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, Predator, directed by John McTiernan, who memorably also directed The Hunt for October and Die Hard.
Die Hard.
So, I mean, big time. You got it. Those three movies.
You got it.
I mean, yeah. Starring Arnold, Carl Weathers, Bill Duke again from... Who was in Commando?
Commando, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse Ventura and a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ratings, Rotten Tomato, he's got 81% for critics, 87% for fan, and a 7.8 on IMDb.
Nice.
Mm. Which I will say I think is pretty appropriate.
Yeah. It had a $27 million budget. I saw different sources on this. It looked to me like it only made like in the $40 million range in the US, but Box Office Mojo said 58, so.
Okay.
And then 98 for worldwide. So, you know, also
solid,
a good,
pretty good
return on investment. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say.
I love this movie.
I also love this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed this one a lot more upon rewatch. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the first time I watched it, the whole first kind of two acts, because the third act, I would just say, is exclusively kind of when he's facing off against the Predator.
Yeah, one-on-one against
him. The first two went really slow for me the first time, but this next time, I felt like the gaps between kills once the Predator comes is paced really well. Mm-hmm. So I really do appreciate this movie more than I did the first time, so I was glad to see it a second time.
Yeah, this movie is kind of three parts, right? Mm-hmm. It's the part up until, like, they find Hopper's men and they raid the camp. Right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the team versus the Predator, and then Arnold versus the Predator.
Yeah. Mm.
And I really like all of it, but it's like it's three different movies.
I think that, honestly, if this was like three different episodes of a anthology TV show, that would work.
Yeah.
But I mean, as a movie, it does, I think, need to have those parts, especially with some character introductions at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But like, I do think that even though the movie isn't that long, you could shorten up some parts, which would make me be interested in seeing kind of some standalone stuff with just one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the team versus the Predator, and then the raid at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So talking about the structure of the movie, sort of going back to Commando, there's that point in Commando where Bennett says to the Presidente, you know, your soldiers are nothing. Matrix and I could kill every one of them like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the scene where in Predator, where that team takes on the people in the jungle, like that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because like everybody has their own specialty, right? Because you've got, I can't remember what his name is in the Jesse Ventura character with the minigun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Blair. His name was Blair, right?
His name was Blair.
Yeah. So one thing that I really like about Predator is, you know, it is an ensemble cast. It's not just an Arnold movie. And they are able to give you some color from each character, you know, what they're like. Because you have Mac, who's this very quiet, very efficient guy, who's kind of a psycho because he's always shaving. Mm-hmm. Like, shaving is terrible. Why would you do it?
All the time.
You didn't have to. And then you have Blaine, that's the name.
Blaine.
Who's the Jesse Ventura character, you know, with his, this stuff will make you a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah. I ain't got time to bleed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. That's how you fix Commando. You put Jesse Ventura as the enemy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He would be much more memorable than Bennett.
Or Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Honestly, anybody from this cast, except for whoever, the little Weasley guy. makes the jokes that everyone laughs at.
Yeah, like Shane Black or
Shane Black. That's who it is.
Yeah, that's Hawkins, and then Poncho was the other guy. Yeah. The two little guys wouldn't they couldn't do
yeah.
it. But yeah, Bill Duke would have worked.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, I don't want to trash on the other movie.
No. Just it could have improved by having Predators cast.
Yeah. So anyhow, I thought it was cool that each of those characters is a little different, even down to Shane Black with his dirty jokes.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Right. Favorite parts of Predator?
Actually, can I talk about the structure of it a little bit? I didn't want to interrupt you guys when you were talking about it, but I have feelings on Predator.
Go for it.
Love this movie. I love Predator. It's definitely my favorite of the bunch. I don't know if we're saying those now.
Oh, wow. You're spoiling.
We're gonna do I'm sorry. Later. I'm sorry. I know it's so early in the list. I couldn't hold it. But no, I mean, Predator, I love the way it's split up. You know, the like you guys were talking about the three acts. I mean, those are very distinct. And the tonal shifts between them, I find to be really, really interesting and really fun because it starts off and you're like, okay, except for the spaceship at the beginning. See your first sign of the Predator at 19 minutes into the movie. It's almost 20 minutes in when we first see some heat vision, and it's I think like 45 minutes in before the Predator kills anybody. It's crazy slow in its buildup, especially like for a movie of this time and this type, an Arnold action movie. It's very subtle about bringing in its big player, and I love the way it builds tension, and it shows these guys who are macho men who are like running and gunning this entire village down. You know,
they're
nobody's in the face of this thing. And I love the way it transforms from stupid action to almost horror thriller at some point as they're being picked off and becoming more and more like just confused. They're like, this isn't supposed to happen. This and is an action movie. We win.
They all get scared and kind of like Mac, who is kind of a psychopath and just really calculated, just starts to go crazy, kind of, which I think is great because it shows actually how the Predator is affecting each of them on a mental level, not only just killing them one by one, but I do think that the stealth aspect of the Predator is excellent. It's it's kind of like in Jaws when you never see the shark. You don't see the Predator, you know, full on without camouflage for quite a while, I feel like. I can't remember. But it's
a while.
It works really well.
So I like the way the tension builds, right? Where you have they find the skinned bodies, right?
Yeah.
And then Billy, who's there, no, is it Billy?
Billy is the tracker. Yep.
Yeah, the tracker. Where he's like, you know, I've got people firing in all directions, right? Like what was happening here? And I can't find a track for what they were firing at.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy.
It's great.
And then like he's like, there's something in those trees, but he can't quite pick it out. So, and then that the dread peaks when he says he's scared, and Poncho's like,
"You ain't afraid of no man.
There's something out there waiting for us, and it ain't no man."
And yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh man.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great.
I don't remember ever finding the movie scary.
Yeah, scary I think is the wrong word. I used horror earlier. It's a horror movie for the people in it. The people in it realize like they're not in the same type of movie anymore. I mean, that's a little meta, but they were in an action movie where they were invincible, and suddenly they're not in an action movie anymore.
Yeah. I do hate the spaceship thing though.
Yeah.
I actually have a couple things for a couple of the movies where I think if you fix the very beginning, it becomes a much better film.
Yeah.
That is one of them where you just don't show the spaceship.
Yeah.
You didn't need to.
Yeah. I get the impression I remember reading something about it where like McTiernan didn't want that in there, but they did some test screening of it and people were like, well, what was the Predator? You know, you didn't explain that it was an alien. And so they felt like they had to just show it right at the beginning.
They didn't explain it was. What about the last scene with it's showing its face and everything? That wasn't alien enough for people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
Yo, one ugly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is a little disappointing because, I mean, that is a little bit of creative control, and that still happens today, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so that is a little upsetting to see.
Yeah. Studio meddling is not a new thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any of the test footage that was done with Jean-Claude Van Damme,
Peter? I've seen some of it. Yeah, with Jean-Claude Van Damme as the Predator.
Yeah.
It's very different.
With that red suit on, because that's... I was explaining it to Ethan. I'm like, it's a red suit because you can't do a green screen against a jungle backdrop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they went with what they went with.
Mm-hmm. One unfortunate thing is that Kevin Peter Hall, who's this, 7'3" guy who played the Predator, he played the Predator in Predator and Predator 2. And then he died right after Predator 2 was filmed. He got AIDS from a blood transfusion. Ooh. And he died. He was only like 34, 35 years old.
Wow.
Oh, so that sucks.
That means he was pretty young when he played the Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Man. Yep. So that was a bummer. Peter, have you seen any of the rest of the series?
I haven't actually. I've seen Predator, and then I saw the most recent one directed by Shane Black, The Predator, which I thought was an abomination. Really, we watched really that, awful.
Right? Yeah. I thought it was fun.
Oh, did you?
But stupid. Yeah.
Did we watch The Predator or Predators?
We watched The Predator. I saw Predators in theater with Peter's dad.
Oh. So,
okay, yes. Yeah. It was The Predator.
I haven't seen that one yet. Need to
watch it someday. It's a decent movie, actually.
I've heard it's fun.
The Alien versus Predator movies are hot garbage.
Okay.
I guess the first one is okay, but I remember I watched that one with your dad too. That's the type of movie your dad and I.
It's the type of movie I watch with my dad, to be honest. Yeah. Watch a lot of these.
I remember coming out of that and going, that was the most predictable movie I've ever seen. Predator 2 is it's a pretty good movie, I guess, but definitely gorier, definitely a harder R.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's set in an urban environment, so they're like, hey, we can show some nudity. So there's quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of nudity.
Yep.
I see that.
Okay, so if somebody were to say, Predator is my favorite one of the movies, this might not be a hypothetical for me or Peter. Mm-hmm. Ethan, what would you guess that was their basis?
Since this one is still one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I've just got to go with what we talked about, the tension building, mm-hmm. with the aspect of the Predator being invisible and kind of getting picked off one by one. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I'll just kind of go a little off track, that I'm not a huge fan of is I don't like the use of heat vision often. The first time and a couple times is great, but during the fight when it goes to heat vision, mm-hmm. I really don't like that. I will admit that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that rather than showing heat vision and then kind of showing the hand with the claw, or like the long fingers he has, mm-hmm. I think that's excellent of implying an alien nature, mm-hmm. of course, without the spaceship.
Right. Yeah.
So I do wish that spaceship wasn't there, because I think there are some heavy implications and, of course, a very obvious implication later on. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, the stealth and the tension in that middle act is just, it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it still holds up. It's just a good move. Like, I really like that part of it.
Yeah. Cool. I don't think I need to add anything to that.
Yep.
I think
same.
Yeah.
Okay. So later in the same year, The Running Man comes out, and this is based on a Stephen King novel.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is directed by Paul Michael Glazer, and it stars Arnold, obviously, and Maria Conchita Alonso, who is also in Predator 2, and Yaphet Kotto, and Jesse Ventura, and Jim Brown, NFL legend, mm-hmm. and Richard Dawson from Family Feud. that's where I knew him from when I saw this movie. So it was a very mm-hmm. different look. It had a $27 million budget. It only made $38 million, and I couldn't find any worldwide gross for it. So I don't know if it got an international release or what, but not hugely financially successful.
Huge mm-hmm. flop, only a few million.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'd take a few of those.
Yeah.
Just one. One would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, the ratings are 63% for critic, 60% for fan, and 6.7 IMDb. Spoiler, that's the lowest you're going to get. That's the lowest ratings.
That seems low.
Which is interesting, because I know it's not your favorite, but I know you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I do. It is my favorite of the bunch. it's just too much fun for me. So I was a little sad to see that it was that low. But I mean, also that budget and that return from the from the domestic is actually pretty surprising as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like based on that, I'd say the movie's underrated. 60%. I mean, not even 70% for audience. That surprises me.
Yeah, I'm really surprised when you say the audience score is that low. It feels like that hasn't been updated in a long time.
Yeah.
That's just not how I would have envisioned this one. So it feels like a IMDb? Cult classic.
6.7 on IMDb, which is the same as Commando.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, I watched this the first time, and I was like, that's a ton of fun. Yeah. It's got great one-liners, and it's a little bit younger Arnold. So it's not young, for instance, but it's just, mm-hmm. he's very buff, which so he's fun to see him do some crazy stuff. But it's the second go around, same thing. I may have liked it a little bit more, honestly, just because I forgot how much, like, sometimes I struggle to not, like, occasionally look at my phone and when I'm watching movies, especially if it's a rewatch.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, it's just phenomenal. Like, I can't look at my phone. And so, yeah, I love the idea of the, I mean, this is basically Hunger Games before Hunger Games, kind of. It's a similar idea. But just the kind of celebrity killers, the stalkers, with their different themes is so cheesy, but I love it. The only thing is I hate Dynamo's outfit. I hate it so much.
I feel like Dynamo and Bennett were in a band at some point.
I don't think you're supposed to like his outfit.
Yes. Because he's very gross.
What did you think about this one, Peter?
You know, I liked Running Man a lot as well. It, weirdly enough, the first time I saw this movie, it didn't leave much of an impression on me. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It just kind of like, I just kind of forgot about it. Watching it a second time, I liked it a lot. It's got all the stuff I love about something like Commando, which is all the great one-liners throughout this movie. I didn't write any down because I'm lazy. I forgot to write them down, but it got some great one-liners, great action. And I do love the kind of like satire of television aspect of it. I really like that. They're trying a lot more with it than like Commando. And I think they hit pretty well.
I like some of the aspects of showing how much they manipulate the, just the media to make it look a certain way. Obviously that's the whole idea is around, I can't remember Arnold's actual name in this one.
Ben Richards.
Yes, they manipulate Richards into looking like this mass killer, which one thing that I do think they could have done with the film is I wish they had had the whole movie be from the perspective of the greater audience and we not know if he is or is not that killer. So that way he's not as, I mean, he is sympathetic in nature because you know he didn't do it, but you kind of, if you take that away, you have to grow to sympathize with him and eventually find out through the lady going and investigating it. And so I think kind of knowing more and more as the story goes on would make it a little bit more compelling. But that's like my only big flaw. And that was after I watched it this time. I was like, you know, I think you could fix that and make it a lot better of a film in general. Because like the funness and the action isn't going to go away because of it. It's just a little bit of an issue with the beginning for me.
I completely agree. The like the opening narration and crawl that it has, I'm like, we don't need to see any of this. The movie tells us every bit of that information as we go along. So no need for that. And it would have been interesting to see to start it with him in prison, right? And to have him break out and he's telling people he was framed, but you don't know.
Everybody says they were framed or that they didn't do it.
Only guilty man is Shawshank, right?
Absolutely.
This one, I feel like if somebody was going to say this was my favorite, it's like all the running scenes, right? All the scenes once he's in the Running Man. That's that's the movie, right?
Hey, Christmas tree.
Follow me, light bulb. Here's Sub-Zero, now Plane Zero. I don't know what to say.
No, it's fun. It's good. It's fun.
Well, I like that... kind of as the movie goes on, you can see the stalkers are starting to dread going in there.
Especially Fireball.
Yeah.
It really shows there. Just because they're like, Fireball to costume or something like that. And he's kind of just like, oh, crap.
I do love people's reaction because like they're very excited to see someone die. They just didn't expect to see one of their beloved stalkers die. Because they're all just like, what? And it's great.
I think my favorite moment is where Killian cuts in to make the offer to Arnold. As to become a stalker.
You cold-blooded bastard. I'll tell you what I think of it. I live to see you eat that contract. But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
That's a good one. That's a good line.
Another part for me is I actually really love the music and the score, just the kind of energetic kind of, it makes it more fun just because, you know, it's a little bit more lighthearted. And so that makes it just appear like if this is probably one of my go-to movies, if I simply just want to have a blast, like I'm not looking for any kind of good acting or good plot or something like that. I just want to have fun. This is what I'm going for.
Yeah. I will say, and I mean, maybe this is better to save for summation, but I do feel like starting with Commando and ending at True Lies, you can really see Arnold grow as a performer.
Absolutely. Right?
Because, mm-hmm. because he's much more of just an action star at the Commando time, mm-hmm. right? You know, the line delivery isn't great. The one-liners work just because they're funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not because his delivery of them is
they're just
amazing.
Inherently funny. Yeah.
But by the time he's in The Running Man, I feel like he's really hit his stride. The one-liners just work, right?
He's got some comedic talent.
Yes, he definitely does. He's got some good timing. You know, what happened to Buzzsaw? Oh, he had to split.
That's a good one.
I also, one of my favorites is the, you know, why should I? Because I'm going to say, please.
And then I like the, I warn you, I get sick. I'm going to throw up all over you. And he's like, no, go ahead. Won't show on this shirt because he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got nothing else to say for this except that I just love it.
Yeah.
I know it's not, for me, Predator is the best film. Mm. Either that or True Lies.
Yeah.
Just like objectively. Mm-hmm. But I just love this movie to death.
Yeah. Hey. I think this is probably the one that I watched the most. I had a friend who had HBO. You know, in the 80s, and so he had taped this one, and we'd throw it in all the time and watch it.
Oh man!
So, yeah, I think I had Predator as well, but mm-hmm. yeah, it was kind of those two.
Well, Dad, what about this movie would make it the best for you?
I think I kind of said it right. The everything from when he's in the arena mm-hmm. to till the end.
Yeah,
and then you know he gets out and the movie is over. Right, mm-hmm. He gets out, puts Killian into the thingy and says the worst of the one-liners. Well, that hit the spot. Which his delivery of it is just like, did he know what those words meant?
The thing is, I think his delivery, I'm going to disagree with you guys from earlier, is that his delivery is what makes some of these one-liners so good. And it's not because he meant to, but because the way he says it, like he doesn't understand what the words mean.
Yeah, that's what my dad said as well. Yeah. He's like, I don't think he knows what that meant.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he knows that hit the spot was like an American or an English colloquialism.
He just says them and that makes him really funny, to me at least.
For me, it looks like he walked off set and they cut like, oh, we got to get one more thing. And they pulled him on last second and you just had to say it and then left.
Right.
Like it looked like last second, like, hey, can you just say this one little quick thing? Oh, yeah, sure. And then just walks over, does it. And
good enough, whatever. Yes. All right. So anything from you guys about what would make this someone's favorite? I mean, Ethan, you've said that it's your favorite. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Peter, what do you think?
You know, it's the one-liners, the action, the plot structure. I think it's the same reason someone would like Commando. Or make Commando their favorite, probably like, you know, Running Man, maybe their first Arnold movie or some of these one-liners are just instilled in your heart if you've seen it when you're young or you hear them from your dad, that kind of thing. I mean, that's why Commando is so high on my list personally, because there's so many lines in there that my dad has said hundreds of times before I ever got to see the movie. So when I finally saw it, it was like, oh, it's that one and that one. Mm-hmm. And it makes it more special.
Alrighty. So how about we move into the 90s?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So Total Recall. This one's directed by Paul Verhoeven. Ooh. Stars Arnold, Sharon Stone, Rachel Ticketon, Michael Ironside, and Ronnie Cox. $65 million budget, $119 million domestic gross, $261 million worldwide. So this is a smash. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them are have pretty good return, other than The Running Man, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, and the ratings in this are actually pretty solid. 82% for critic, 78 for fan, 7.5 on IMDb, which I gotta say, I do not agree with the ratings, but they exist.
Yeah. So this is the first one of them that I think I actually saw in the theater because I was old enough by then. Yeah, and I loved this one from the beginning. I went out and got the novelization after that, which is written by Piers Anthony, actually, and read it. And we covered it on Take Me to Your Reader a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, like 5 years ago. We've been doing
that a while. Is this one not a Philip K. Dick?
It is a Philip K. Dick story.
Okay, but there's a novelization of the movie that's adapted from a short story?
Yeah, so and that's we did it for April Fool's Day on Take Me to Your Reader. So we're going to, instead of talking about a movie that's adapted from a book, we're going to talk about a book that's adapted from a movie, which is what a novelization is.
Mm-hmm. That's
It's based on the screenplay.
Isn't the short story like,
we can remember it for you wholesale.
Yeah.
And it's only like 10 pages, 13, 14, 15 pages. somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Quite different than Total Recall, but it's one of those cases, like I said, where you put Arnold in as that main character and it changes what you have to do with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is a movie that I instantly loved. There's a lot that I really, really appreciate about it. I love the practical effects because there's a lot of it. There's tons of blood squibs.
Oh, man.
Which is a Paul Verhoeven trademark from
absolutely
Starship Troopers and RoboCop. Yeah.
RoboCop.
So super bloody, super gross, but awesome. Mm-hmm. However, I have to say this time, it did not really hold up that well for me on this rewatch.
For me as well. I think the first time I thought it was like, I think for me, the first part of the film mm-hmm. went by faster. This time, mm-hmm. I just was not interested at all, which part of it could be because it's a rewatch and I know what happens, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to watch it all the way through. I don't ever watch movies in parts, mm-hmm. but I was having a hard time getting through this one.
Yeah. I'll be totally honest. I watched this in two parts because the first part's a bit of a slog. I don't know why, because looking at it from just a perspective of I watched this one last. So having watched a bunch of Arnold movies in a marathon, basically, mm-hmm. It's all fairly standard for an Arnie movie, you know, the setup, the buildup. But for some reason, this one's buildup just did not connect with me. Mm. And I like the movie. I like the movie.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think there's a bad movie out of all of these, mm-hmm. even if Total Recall is my least favorite. But it just has some problems with the buildup and, mm-hmm. and investment for me, getting me interested in the characters enough to want to see them do things. Mm-hmm. Just didn't click.
I will say, I mean, I still admire the movie quite a bit, even though I feel like it's very much a piece of 1990s sci-fi action. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't transcend that at all. Like, I don't think this isn't going to be a timeless movie. But one thing that I do really like about it is that the screenplay leaves in there enough doubt so that you can actually, when Dr. Edgemar comes in and tries to talk him down, you know, talk him down, you can actually believe that he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And you can, I think you can get to the end of this movie and be like, you know, I think maybe he's still strapped to that chair, which I think is cool.
So. Yeah. You know, this one, I'll say, of all the movies we watched for this, this is the mm-hmm. weirdest, for sure, 100%. Mm-hmm. And also, I agree, the most ambitious of the movies. Yeah. It's really trying something with its script. It's trying something with a lot of its, like, direction choices. Mm-hmm. Paul Verhoeven is doing some interesting things here. I don't know if they all work, but he really is like swinging for the fences with it. He's doing some weird stuff with the aliens and the mutations and just the overall plot. Hit, miss, but he's definitely swinging for it.
Yeah. Have either of you guys ever seen the remake?
No.
No, but it's with Colin Farrell, right?
Yeah. And on one hand, it's like a slick, you know, 2010 era action movie. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And there's some cool stuff in it. There's actually the scene, there's a cool scene at the recall parlor that's shot in a really interesting way. And there's some good stuff about the movie. The biggest problem with it is that it hits all the same beats. And so there's no tension in the whole movie. Mm. Because if you've seen the other one, you already know what's going to happen. Even though it cuts out the Mars part entirely, because the Mars part is not actually from the short story.
How does it cut out the Mars part of Total Recall?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point? I mean, that's Total Recall. That's like half the movie.
Yeah, but it's not from the actual short story. That was made up for the original movie.
So
it's
for the first half?
Yeah. It's a similar kind of thing where he, you know, is apparently married to Kate Beckinsale, and then all of a sudden something happens and his training kicks in. But then it's basically like they have the colonies that are in the Northern Hemisphere and then the colonies in the Southern Hemisphere. And that's the almost two planets part of it. But there are no mutants or anything like that. So it's, lame. I don't know. And there's a director's cut of it that's a little better than the theatrical version. But it's not good. I mean, it's like, seriously, it's fine as long as it's not a remake of Total Recall, but the 1991 exists. So. No.
Yeah.
Anywho, if somebody said this was their favorite, which a lot of people did, what did they base that on?
I do like just the idea of not knowing who you are and having to discover who you are through interacting and like even like the handwriting thing is this kind of a small little thing that I actually really like. So I would be interested to see if like they had to change this movie, because I like that part. If that was like the entire movie and it wasn't an action movie, if it was more of a like drama thriller, that would obviously be a completely different movie. But that's just my favorite aspect of it, is that kind of determining who you are. But it's not that huge of a part of a movie, of the movie, honestly, because they just come in and they're like, oh, you are so-and-so, you're not Quaid, you know, and they kind of just tell you. So I think it would be more interesting if they had kind of lengthened all a bit more and expanded on that a little bit more.
What about you, Peter?
You know, I would say there's a lot of elements here that don't work, especially for me. But I think if they did, that I would just love it because of how ambitious it is, because of how much it attempts. I think you could make a case for it, especially if those elements that didn't work for me worked for you. And the pace, I think the pace is really my biggest issue. If my investment in the first act had been better, I think the events that follow in the second and third act would be a lot more impactful and probably leave me feeling a lot better about the movie.
So I can see
that.
I think like if I went and looked at all the people who said it was their favorite, they're probably my age, and saw it in the theater. And you know, the movie blew me away. I'd never seen anything remotely like it with the alien, the mutant effects and all the blood squibs and that kind of stuff. I'd never seen anything like it. And so I think there's a strong nostalgia factor to someone saying it's their favorite. But like I said, trying to watch it this time critically, I was like, you know, this doesn't work as well for me anymore. And that's fine.
For sure.
That happens.
There's also a lot of hardcore Paul Verhoeven fans that I've seen.
That is true.
I was reading some reviews for it, and a lot of them were people who like just absolutely loved RoboCop and Starship Troopers. So this is just right down that same route.
That does make a little bit of sense.
Yeah. His weirdness and violence appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. Shall we move on to True Lies?
Let us proceed to the final film.
Yes. Okay. So this is 1994, directed by James Cameron, who also worked with Arnold, obviously, on The Terminator and Terminator 2. It stars Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis and Tom Arnold, who is not Arnold Schwarzenegger's brother.
No, I know. I was just pulling it up here. I knew they weren't brothers. I was just being an idiot and looked at Arnold. Why would you bring that up?
Because it was hilarious.
I've had a couple moments in life recently where I've been such an idiot.
Yes.
Like, that's definitely one of them, where I would just make a stupid comment and realize, wow, I sound like I...
Yeah, like the moment it came out, he went, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, and Bill Paxton, memorably.
Yes, I was going to say.
Yeah.
You got it.
Oh, my goodness.
This one had a $115 million budget. Oh, made $146 million domestically, but $379 million worldwide. So
pretty good.
Pretty successful, not hugely successful in the U.S., which is surprising to me because I remember this movie being pretty popular. What was the reception of it?
It was solid. 70% critic, 76 fan, 7.2 IMDb.
Okay.
I think that one is pretty good because the fan is a little bit higher than the critic, which makes a little bit more sense. And then the IMDb is solid also.
Yeah. So, Peter, this was the first time you saw this one.
This is the first time I've seen this, yeah.
All right, so I want to know everything.
Okay, so this is another one where my dad and my mom actually have quoted this movie endlessly. So it's one of those that I've been meaning to get to, but I already know all the... I know most of the dialogue from this movie, weirdly. So as I'm watching it, I'm seeing all those things. But I really enjoyed this. It was a lot different than I thought it would be. It feels like a much more modern movie. Obviously, it's from 94. You know, a lot of these movies are from the 80s. But it's like, feels much more modern. The direction, the camera work, the cinematography, the comedy, everything feels like it's, well, it would belong in a movie that came out this year, almost. It's very modern. The comedy is a lot less reliant on one-liners and more on like really funny situations. Like there's some hilarious bits in this movie that I was really surprised by. The other thing is, I think this is one of the best ensembles of the list we've had so far. The cast, Jamie Lee Curtis is fantastic. Bill Paxton is super memorable. I will remember his sequences forever. And Tom Arnold just has like line after line that is just, they all hit. So this one, the action's much more modern. The comedy's much more modern. It's great. Yeah. On a first watch, I was kind of blown away. I expected kind of 80s, 90s schlock, and I got like a really well-made movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Bill Paxton was actually in Commando as well. He was the radar operator who had picked them up when they were flying out to the island.
Ooh.
And then they went lower and he's like, oh, I lost him, sir.
Man.
Wow.
Bill Paxton. Yeah.
He sneaks his way into everything.
Yep. He does. He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. He was. Rest in peace.
I know.
Yeah. Gone too soon.
Yeah, I really like this one.
I definitely will say it's night and day in terms of the action direction between Commando and True Lies.
Yeah.
James Cameron has a much firmer hand on, or, you know, much surer hand on the action stuff. And some of it's a little ridiculous, like the Mac 10 that falls down the stairs.
Yeah, it gets more ridiculous toward the end, I think.
It goes into almost kind of farce. But like, just if you look at, like, the whole bridge scene coming back from the Keys. Mm-hmm. When they blow it out with the missiles, and then Jamie Lee Curtis has to do the hanging out of the helicopter, which she actually did.
Yeah,
such an awesome stunt.
It's great. So, I really like the hill chase, the, like, snowy hill outside.
Yeah.
I don't remember ridiculous. Where that was, but that's a, like, really well shot scene. Like, it looks good, and
he actually handles his weaponry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's holding
more
a gun.
Believable with handguns than. Than with rifles, just because rifles, he tends to just hip shoot them.
It's true. This one, I think he actually shoulders some rifles, though.
He does.
He holds guns like modern action stars hold guns, which is a surprise, because as much as this is, like, they're like 9 years apart from the first movie on our list and the last movie, this is the only movie where he holds a gun in a way that is, like, modern and believable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like here you really do, you know, because by this time, he did, when was Kindergarten Cop?
1990.
Okay.
Yep, same year.
Because by this time, he had started moving into comedy, and people had realized, this guy can do comedy. It actually works. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's some fish out of water stuff with him, you know, some larger than life kind of thing. But I feel like Cameron really does a good job of pulling out the best of both the action side of Arnold and the comedy side of Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bolstered, obviously, by Tom Arnold, who's just a comedian. And he gets a lot of great lines, and they play really, really well together.
Absolutely.
And then the physical comedy with Jamie Lee Curtis and the dance
scene
is so hard to watch for me. I'm so bad at cringe.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole thing, and I was talking to Ethan, I'm like, how does he think he's gonna score?
I know. I did have some not problems with that scene, but I was like, this plan is the worst plan I've ever seen for winning someone back. You're going to basically gaslight them into thinking that they're like gonna die. Right. And then just and then out of nowhere at the
sweet,
end,
sweet love.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to rub a rose on your face as sexy Arnold, and then you're going to love me.
Yep. And so that's why I like the fact that she's just like, nope, not doing this.
She's like,
and
what?
Hits him with the phone.
It's great.
And then staying with the comedy there, that scene is so great because he's trying to talk his way out of it. And she thinks that she's the one who knows what's going on.
I don't know. Oh, that
they're
so
here
great.
For her.
That's
I just
so
love
great.
That.
Yep. Who's the lead villain, the other one, the one who yells? And
oh, the leader of the
Art Malik.
Crimson Jihad.
Art Malik.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
He's great as well.
He is. Yeah. He throws himself into that, and there's some comedy to him as well, right? Mm-hmm. And some good menace in there, because that action scene where Arnold first interacts with him, and there's the chase, you know, up through the building and everything, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The horse.
Yeah, the horse. What
oh,
the hell?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the horse scene, it's ridiculous, but it's directed super well. Again, like, it just looks good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've got nothing really bad to say about this one. It's just a ton of fun. It's got some great comedy. Mm-hmm. It's filmed well. Just all around solid.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. The Bill Paxton, the lines in the Bill Paxton scene will.
Oh, yeah.
the out of nowhere, and I'm sorry, there's a bad word in here, but he says,
ass like a 10-year-old boy.
I'm just sitting there on my couch dying because, A, it doesn't make any sense, but just the way he delivers that line. Like, it's supposed to mean something. It's so funny.
He knows what it means.
He knows what it means, yeah. He's got a couple lines in there like that, but that one in particular just left me reeling.
The funny thing at the end when they're doing the thumb war, he's laughing and smiling so hard, but just his grin is so funny to
it's
me.
It's so good.
I feel like at the top of this episode, I should just find like a super cut of Arnold going,
yeah.
Okay. His in Total Recall is probably the best when he's suffocating.
Yeah.
That's a pretty incredible and super long sequence, but that's incredible. Yes, it really is. Ah.
Yep. Okay. So summing up, if somebody said this was their favorite movie, why would you think that? Why would you think they said that?
I think it's just the balance between the comedy and the action.
You
think
stole mine.
I think there's just a really great kind of improvement curve over these movies where you can see Arnold's delving into some comedy. And, you know, obviously at the beginning of his career, not great English. We didn't watch Conan,
right?
But, you know, that was the start of it. But I think he just turns into a great actor at the end. He's got some good stuff. Obviously, you know, not an incredible actor, but he's surprisingly good. And
before Conan the Barbarian, there was Hercules in New York.
right. Yes.
Which I've seen.
I have not seen
it. It has the memorable line, "Why have you struck the mighty Hercules?" Like, he didn't know English. He was just learning to sound out the words. But yeah, at some point, I think when they originally aired it, they dubbed him. But you can...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I haven't watched Conan the Barbarian in 25 years. I need to watch that one again.
Yeah. For sure. I haven't seen it either. I need to check it out sometime.
Yeah.
Yep.
Peter, what do you think? What's the best part of this movie for you?
The best part of this movie for me? Boy, I think you said it. The mix of the action, the comedy, the tones, they balance it really nicely. It's not like as ambitious as some of the others on this list. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not trying to be much more than a heartwarming spy action comedy. But what it tries to do, it absolutely nails.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we sum up?
Sure.
Let us sum up.
I want to go through our top fives.
Let's do it.
All right. Peter, as you're our guest, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, no surprise here, because I said it earlier. Predator is my number one. Number two is True Lies. Number three is Commando. Number four, like close to Commando. It's really, really tight. Honestly, they're probably tied for third place, Running Man. And then last place, Total Recall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we have four different lists, four different lists with three people. Sorry, I'm not cutting that out. Ethan, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, so number one, as I said, Running Man. Number two, True Lies. Number three, Predator. Number four, Commando. And number five, Total Recall. Okay. And I do think that for me, one and two are... Actually, one is set, five is set. But those middle three, I do see...
Yeah.
Could make some change. I could definitely see Predator coming up to two. Mm-hmm. I could see True Lies going back down to three. Mm-hmm. But I think the first and the last are going to stay.
Yeah, yeah. So for mine, I have Predator as number one still. But I do hate the spaceship thing. Like, it would be an unquestioned number one without the spaceship. But The Running Man, which I have as my number two, it has that opening narration and stuff that I also don't like.
And we talked about the possible change, which I think would make it 100% a just great movie.
Yeah, I agree. But I do have that at number two, but it's a close call with True Lies. And I feel like True Lies is a much better movie.
Mm-hmm.
Predator, I think, is also an excellent movie. But I don't know. The Running Man is just, it's super enjoyable. And there's a nostalgia factor for me too, having seen it so many times when I was, you know, 17. And then I have Total Recall and then Commando. Commando is just, it's one of those things where I really like the direction that action movies have taken with the John Wick and the Raid and other things that are more, you know, pull the camera back, show us what's going on, where Commando is just kind of the watch things blow up, you know, invincible superhero person.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. Well, Peter, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll come on any episodes you want, you know.
Okay. Well, what do you want to do next?
You're putting me on the spot now. You know, I'm going to have to think a little bit. I've seen some great movies recently, though. Maybe I'll throw those on the list.
Well, maybe I'll look over your letterbox and see if there's anything on there we want to pick out.
It's awesome.
If we can figure out a theme.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Some connection between movies. So, cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and sign off here then. So, everybody, thanks for listening. And if you want to reach out to us, you can on Twitter. At Brief Not So Brief, or you can tweet me at Hugo's Podcast, which is the one that I'm on most of the time. If you want to react to us and tell us that we forgot a movie, which we did, we deliberately chose five. Or if we have our rankings obviously wrong, you can put your rankings there and correct us.
But if you say Total Recall, I will come at you.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
It's been thrown.
Cool. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
And this time we're going to be talking. Try that again.
But it's still.
Seriously.
I feel like I gotta keep that in. Like that's. Put that in the bloopers.